examination. It is a letter of exposing the heretics, what they teach. John never calls them out by name, as we often do today. And I do, I'll call the Jehovah's Witnesses out, the Mormons out, Muslims out, Charismatics out. Just do. But John didn't do that, which probably shows a lot of wisdom there. But what he did expose is what they taught as heresy. He exposed what they preached as heresy. And he exposed them as heretics, again, without saying their name. In that, he also exposed who was saved and who was lost. And the Word of God does that. You know, I'll tell you something about people that's lost. And I was here at one time also, and if you're saved, then you was there one time also. And if you're not saved, then you're still there. After a while, the Word of God, you get tired of it. And if all the church does is simply preach the Word of God, there's no excitement there in their eyes. And what they're looking for is entertainment. And so what you find out often is that they'll end up being, church jumpers. And they'll go from one to the other, say 6 months, 3 months, and when the new wears off, they'll jump again. Then they'll jump again. Sometimes they may even jump back here and then jump over here. And what is it that they're looking for? Excitement. And when the newness, you can say, wears off, then they move on. That makes sense? So it's important that you and I teach the Word. I want to say this. This may offend some of you. Who's the Word for? Who gains from the Word? Who grows from the Word? Amen. Who can understand the Word? Make sense? Amen. I've heard this by some mature pastors told me this. Don't worry about trying to kick them dogs that's in there. To not lost people. Feed the sheep. What was it that Jesus told Peter? Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Very important. Sheep are to eat sheep's food. What is sheep's food? It's the Word of God. Amen. Thank God for the Word. So let's get in the Word tonight. 1 John chapter 3. We'll read verses 4 through 7. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Father, we thank you for your Word. Help us tonight. I ask you to bless the reading of it. Help us in preaching. Help us in hearing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message is, Let No Man Deceive You. Let no man deceive you. And let me say this up front about the title of this message. In order for me to not let somebody deceive me, that's on me. Amen. That's on me. That's my responsibility. This morning we talked about, before we left, about the different tenses that's in these scriptures. Different tenses, these words, and the way these words are used, and how very important that is. Understand that there are people out there that are teaching things, and y'all know this, that ain't right. They're teaching that when you sin, one little sin, or it, not necessarily the one little sin, but in this category of sins over here, if you do these sins, after you say you're saved, then you're lost. Of course, we know that's not biblical. If ever saved, forever saved. Amen. If ever saved. I do want to bring to remembrance here as we get into these verses, the teachings of the antinomians. These antinomians were really teaching heresies here. They taught that because you're saved by grace that now you can live like hell. You can live like how you want to hell. You can live like how you want to live. You can commit all manner of evil and it is okay. This was very popular teaching back during that time. It is also a very popular teaching today that though someone says they're saved, yes, they can live like hell. They can live like the devil. How sad is it for someone to call themselves a Christian and yet lovingly indulge in sin? If these people are in some type of authority in the church, now watch this. If this person who believes this way is in authority, whether he's a preacher, a pastor, a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, whether he works with the youth, whatever it is, he influences that church in that direction. This is what's happening here in the churches of Asia Minor. These antinomians have come in into places of authority in the church. They are now teaching the churches. They're leading the churches. If you read over in 3 John, you find out that there are even those who stood against John coming and teaching the church. Now, why would someone stand against John, the Apostle John, John the Beloved? Because he's teaching truth. As we learned this morning, there are those who stand against you and I because we are lights in this world. And as they stood against Christ, they'll also stand against us. With the influence of their teaching, they have caused these churches of Asia Minor, and these, I don't have a map up here. We need to get a map one day, amen? But, let me see if I can draw this on the board. And Brother Darrell, Brother Justin was over there in that area. Does that kind of look like the Mediterranean? Here over here is Israel. Over here will be Asia Minor. Over here coming off of the boot will be Italy. Over here will be Crete. Looks good. Don't worry about it. It's all right. Pretend this is right. Okay. You got churches here. Here, 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 and here. These churches. Matter of fact, you also see these seven churches in the book of Revelation. And you read chapters 2 and 3. You read the seven churches, Smyrna and Ephesus and so on and so forth, the church of Laodicea. That's what's over here. These are the churches of Asia Minor. These are where Paul had been before preaching and teaching the Word of God, starting churches. John is over here now. Paul is off the scene. Paul is dead. Peter is dead. All the apostles are dead. The only one that's alive is John. John here is an old man. He's preaching and teaching the Word of God. So what's happened is that heresies have crept in to these churches in Asia Minor. Here's a sad thing. Go over there today and try to find these churches. Guess what? Not there. Not there. The influence of the teaching of the heretics will cause a church to go astray. Let me say something else. If a church gets in a bind, they start trying to do schemes to get people in. I call it a scheme. Some call it a program. Let's get him in with a hot dog. We'll keep him wild with a hamburger. And every now and then we'll throw some buttered popcorn at him. What am I saying? Have all these events to get people in so you get away from, guess what, the Word. Not much time left for the Word. What grows us? Programs? How many of y'all like good singing? I like good singing. I like it. Does it grow us? No. No. Not like the Word of God does. Does it cleanse us? No. Not like the Word of God does. So we can have all these musicals, all these schemes, all these programs, and have a packed out place, and the church be dead in a hammer. Be a mile wide and an inch deep. So then you get someone that comes in that's got a strong voice. They're real authoritative. They're what you would call a charismatic type person. Everybody likes them. they move and they do these things. They kind of glide across here and there. They look like an angel of light. And yet the whole time they're easing people into heresy. So we got people in these churches here. Some are saved, some are lost. As we looked back in chapter 2, there are babes in Christ. There are young men and women in Christ. There are fathers and mothers in Christ. And then you got these heretics that come in or teaching to cause people to go astray. So you got people in the church who knows the Word of God, yet respect these teachers who's teaching something that's different than the Word of God, not backing up with Scripture. So there's confusion here. Do you agree? There's confusion. On the one hand, they want to serve Christ. On the other hand, they want to fulfill the lust of their flesh. And that's what was being taught here. They were teaching that though you're saved, you can fulfill the lust of your flesh. And remember, as a saved person, we have two natures inside of us. We have the sin nature that we're born with, and then we have the Christ nature. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you and I after we're saved. And these two war one with the other, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5. The Spirit and the flesh war against one another. What are they warring over? You and I. Amen? I heard of a preacher, old preacher, preaching. He's dead and gone now, on to glory. And it was his actual voice preaching, which was pretty amazing to me that they still had some stuff recorded by him. But he was, you know, you've heard the expression, shucking the corn preaching. He was shucking the corn. He said, how sad it is today that churches try to accommodate the people. So that caught my attention. I said, well, what are you talking about? So I made sure I turned it up enough where I could hear it real good. He said, how sad it is that people try to make the church. Just lost the words he used. To try to make the church happy for everybody. So they start calling services. They call the Sunday evening service. So people could just go home and rest on Sunday evenings. I said, that's been on my mind before. Amen. As a pastor. Because everybody's just so tired and wore out. So what you do is that everybody's busy in the world all week long, so make it easier for them on Sunday. Just have one service. He said, that ain't right. It's not right. He said, the people, you and I, must learn to crucify our flesh and tell the world no. So we can tell God yes. Amen. And I could help but say, oh me, and amen. That is right. In verse 3, John here plainly shows them that an evidence of a true believer is one who constantly purifies himself. And we learned that a few weeks ago. And all who have the hope of Christ in them, of either Christ coming back and catching us away, or you and I dying and going to be with Christ, we have this hope inside of us. And because of this hope, we purify ourselves. We want sin gone, sin away. Get away, sin, go away. This means that we will be striving in this area. This is an action from the heart. But if someone does not have hope in them of the return of Christ or of eternity, they will not be striving to purify themselves. We are people. So keep in mind we can go from one extreme to another. Have you ever been around with somebody and you tell them, why you drive so slow? So they get mad, say, oh, well, fine then. And then you're like, you can slow down now. The curve comes, that curve says 35 miles an hour for a reason. What'd they just do? Go from one extreme to the other. We can do that. The antinomians said, in all you want to do, sin. Live it up. Hey, you're forgiven. Don't worry about it. Forget about it. Just go do it. They're saying if it feels good, do it. You're forgiven. Don't worry about it. That is appealing to the flesh, folks. Listen to me. That's appealing to the flesh. But it's anti-Christ. It's anti-God. Then again, on the other side, you have those who say, as we mentioned earlier, that if you sin one little sin, after you say you're saved, that you lose your salvation. So here we are. You got those saying, live it up. You got those saying, if you sin that sin, you're going to be lost again. So who do we believe? We believe the Word of God. Amen. We believe the Bible. This is why it's so important, please hear me, for you and I to study the Bible. Before church this evening, Brother Darrell and I was talking about Sunday school and how much we enjoyed the lesson this morning out of 1 Peter. And we was talking about how we used to use books. And we used them here for a short time, Sunday school books. And how that makes the people lazy. That makes the teacher lazy. Amen. Because you don't look at the book till Sunday morning. You just kind of scan over it. And then you get in class and just kind of talk about it. And you ain't teaching because you don't know what you're talking about anyway. Then there were things in the books that sound real good that were not biblical. Things that you may have heard most of your life and say, that's not right. Not according to what? The Bible. So what do? Well, we got rid of the books. Now all the teachers teach. I ain't saying they ain't got study helps. I'm not saying that. Amen? Got study helps. And you may have something that you like, that you've gotten, that is truth. You teach it. But you're studying. You're learning. And what you learn transforms you. And then you give your overflow to your students. We are to believe the Bible. That's why it's so important to study the Bible. Let me say this. A little prayer, a little blessing. A little bit of Bible reading, very little stability. Very little security. Very little confidence. Not holy, no cleansing. Amen. If we simply take what others say. Now listen, this is what we can do. We'll find somebody that we like, that we love. Amen. We'll take him, we'll put him up on a pedestal. I beg y'all don't ever put this pastor up on a pedestal. Ever. You know I'm a man. Amen. I'll fail you. But we'll take people and we'll put them up on a pedestal and we'll say, you know, that man is a good man. He's a good preacher. I know he studies. So I'm going to believe everything he says. All right, preacher, I trust you. That means I ain't got to go home and go study what you preach. All I got to do is just take what you say for granted and I'm good. How sad is that? How sad is it for someone to say they believe what they believe because it's what their denomination or their church teaches? We should be able to say that we believe what we believe because it's what the Bible says. Thank God for commentaries. Thank God for study helps. But don't be a commentary junkie. Study. To shew thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. To rightly divide, and I know y'all know this, is to slice it real thin. This is what we are doing to Scriptures. We are to analyze it. Guess what this does? It takes time. It takes time to do it correctly. Do you know the mindset of people today is that that's good enough. That's good enough. That's far enough. I've done enough. That'll work. That's good enough to get by. That's the type of the generation that we're raising. It's not good enough. We must continue to study. And study. And study. You know what most people are? It's too busy. Too busy. Or too lazy. I'm not going to ask y'all to raise y'all's hands. I do have some questions. And I've been praying about how to do this, and we'll probably do it later on. But how much time do you spend praying per day? I ain't talking about driving down the road. I ain't talking about I'm not talking about while you're in the shower or on the toilet. I mean closet praying. Then ask you this, how much time do you spend reading your Bible and studying your Bible? Not just going, I know that we have a daily reading that is to help provoke you to read, but not just read, to study it. I ain't talking about the whole chapter. Find one verse in the chapter and take that verse and you break it down. Guess what you're doing? You're feeding upon it. You're feeding it. I mean, you're feeding upon it. I picture... How many of y'all like steak? Raise your hand. Don't be scared. I like steak. You don't like steak, Miss Carol? I'll pray for you. Amen. I'm glad I picked it, Miss Carolyn. Where's steak come from? Winn-Dixie. Yeah, Winn-Dixie. I've heard people say that y'all not shoot deer. That's inhumane. That you should go to the grocery store and get your meat. Okay, you have no idea what you're talking about. But that's fine, though. But seriously, where does a steak come from? Piece of a steak. Cow. Bull, whatever you want to call it. Can you take up that whole bull? Cook the whole thing and eat it like it is? I guess you could. It ain't going to work, is what I'm saying. What you got to do? You got to clean the steak up. And then the Word of God don't need to be cleaned up. But you got to cut the steak. That takes time, don't it? You got to cook the steak. Get a little hungry. You gotta take the steak from the stove to the, at least you have to the table, the place to eat. Then how many of y'all take the steak when you get to the table, reach down there with both hands, pick it up, start chawing on it? You don't do that, do you? What do? You take a knife and a fork, especially if you're in a restaurant. I know that my mom and dad was in a restaurant last week, and my mom dropped her fork on the floor, no, her steak on the floor, and she picked it up and kept eating it. It embarrassed my dad so much that he dropped his handful of mashed taters. Amen. Yeah, I'll just picture that for a little while. Amen. So what do you do with the steak? You start cutting it up. And piece by piece, you eat it. It's good, ain't it? If it's cooked right, guess what? You don't need no steak sauce. You eat it like it is. Amen. What's that do? It nourishes you. It builds you. It gives you strength. Now, how much time did it take? Now, if you add all of it up, the cow had to be born, had to be raised up. Whoa. Had to be shipped from the field to the slaughterhouse. Had to be slaughtered, butchered, cut up in pieces, cleaned, wrapped, sent to the store, bought, taken home to your house, then cooked, or restaurant, whatever. I'm saying that this, that took time. That took years, possibly. Now, how much time should we spend on the Scriptures? Ought to spend some time on it. Do you want the good stuff? Get in the Scriptures. Study it for yourself. Listen, folks, all you're getting from a preacher is the overflow. That is it. That's it. There's no way a pastor can stand up and give you everything that's in him. No way. Not going to happen. I heard of a pastor about a year ago. He made this comment. He said, I'm so excited that he's in the 70s. He said, I'm so excited that I've learned so much from the Word of God. And he wasn't being prideful when he said this. He said, I love it. He said, I get up every day, still yet today, and feed upon the Word of God. He said, my only regret is that there's no way I'm going to be able to give my congregation everything that I've taken in before I die. Amen. Full of the Word of God, overflowing. You and I must feed upon the Word of God. Most people are too busy or too lazy. So what you do is that you take for granted what someone else says. Here's a problem. If you haven't studied it, then you don't know if it's truth or not. This is why we have so much division today. I see it even now. I see it more and more, even in the circle that we're in. More and more division. You have folks hanging on to things that they've always heard, always believed, and you try to talk to them about the Bible, and they refuse to look at it. People side with their group, their circle, their denomination, instead of the Bible. Now, with that said, that was the introduction. Let's get to these verses. Let me go ahead and say this, too. We can't learn nothing in a half hour. You think about it. Amen. Verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Whosoever. We know this is speaking of what? Jew or Gentile. That's what I'm speaking of. This word committeth is in the present tense, a present participle. It expresses continuous or repeated action. The word sin is hamartia. The Greek word hamartia. It is sin, failure, to miss the mark. Now let's take these three words right here. Let's put them together. You ready? Whosoever committeth sin, Jew or Gentile, who continually, repeatedly lives a lifestyle of sin, failure, and missing the mark. This is a habitual lifestyle we're talking about here. This is not someone who is warring against sin in their lives. This is not a Romans chapter 7 person. This is someone who has given their lives to sin. It's habitual. This is someone who has given over to fulfill the lustful desires of their flesh. Matter of fact, other than the laws of the land, they are an unrestraint. And often they break those laws. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, scriptures that y'all know well, says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, thank you, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things should not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's obvious from the scriptures that those who live this kind of lifestyle are not saved. The works of the flesh are manifest. It's brought to light. It doesn't matter how many professions of faith they've made. If this is their lifestyle, according to the Bible, they are continually committing sin, which proves that they do not love Jesus Christ. Why? Because we learn in verse 3 that he who has his hope inside himself is what continually purified himself. He is living a lifestyle of repentance, a lifestyle of turning back to God, away from sin. He's living a sanctification process. I understand these verses upset people, because they used to upset me too. Thank God for saving grace. This grace with which God saves us with unmerited favor, when He saves us, He transforms us and makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are justified. When God sees us, He sees us as if we had never sinned. But the fact of the matter is this, we still sin, don't we? We sin in either thought, word, or deed every day. But now we're different. Y'all catching this? We're different now. We still sin, right? But it's different. That sin grieves you. You don't like that sin. Because of Jesus Christ, we no longer want to live like how we used to. Can y'all say amen right there? You don't want to go back. Verse 4 says, whosoever commits sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is simply going against the law of God, which means it's going directly against God Himself. Sin is piled upon sin. It's heaped up. It's stacked up against us. And for all who are lost, all the lost will be judged according to their sins at the great white throne judgment. These sins through life has been heaped up, stacked up, piled up as they went through life. All these sins they will be judged for. Then the sentence of death will be passed upon them, and they will spend eternity in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, where they will be tormented forever and ever. Folks, we know hell is not a party place. It's a real place, and real people go there every day. Here's the thing. People can deny its existence, but it don't change the facts. It's real. Thank God for verse 5. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. John said, all right, fellas and ladies, y'all know why Christ came. Christ openly, the word manifest here means to openly appear. He openly appeared to take away our sins. This was no secret. This was God's plan from before the foundation of the world. Acts 2:23 says, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Foreknowledge here. What's that mean? Let me tell you what it don't mean. It does not mean that God looked ahead and said, oh, that's how that's going to work. Have y'all ever heard that? If that's the case, Acts chapter 2, verse 23, God's saying, oh, that's how my son's going to die. Ain't that word foreknowledge there? So what's it mean? Foreordained. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreordained what plan of God you have taken by wicked hands of crucified and slain. The book of Revelation tells us that Christ was as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Christ is the manifested plan of God. He openly appeared to take away our sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ, listen, He didn't just take away the sin, He took away the punishment of sin. Right. He had no sin, He never sinned. And even when our sins were imputed or placed upon Him, He still never sinned. See, folks, our sins was placed upon Christ. And God must, He's holy, He's righteous, He must punish sin. He has to. Therefore, He took our punishment because our sins was placed upon Him. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Each lost person is living every day with their sins upon them. John 3:36 says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. One thing that is consistent with all who truly believe to the saving of their soul. This is consistent with every believer in the Bible and with every believer today, that a radical transformation takes place. Christ becomes Lord of their life. We know it as Lordship salvation. For someone to claim to be saved and yet not change is someone who's making a profession, but it's obvious that they don't have Christ in them. Folks, Christ is not some weak God. Do you agree? He's not weak. There's no way that Christ can come inside someone and that person not change. There's no way. They must change. You and I have changed. When He saves you, you will change. Then from that point forward, we will bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Fruits meet of repentance means, listen, yes, I'm saved, and I'm going to bring forth fruits of a saved person. Not someone who's already in heaven. Because in heaven there is no sin. John makes this very clear in verse 6. Look at verse 6. Whosoever never, again, remember whosoever is what? Jew or Gentile. Whosoever abideth in Him, watch this, does what? Sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Now here's where some of our charismatic friends come in and say, oh, you can't sin. If you sin, then you lose your salvation. So I want to say, okay, stop for a second. What do you consider sin? They want to go to Galatians 5, 1 Corinthians 6. Yes, I agree, that's sin. That's sin. What else is sin? You speed today? Who in here today broke the speed limit? You sinners. You transgress the law of the land. So that's the law of the land. The Bible says to obey them. Guess what? If we believe like how they believe, y'all better repent and get saved again tonight. I didn't break the speed limit. I didn't go from here to the house. I'm lining the kids up this evening. I don't know what I ran. Oh, I ran 55. Now I'm lying, ain't I? Now sin again. Have you exaggerated today? You told a lie. Have you sinned a thought, word, or deed? That's a sin. That's a transgression of the law. So let's look at this. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. This word sinneth is hamartano. It's not hamartia, it's hamartano. It is to err in action in respect to a prescribed law. Watch this. To commit errors, to do wrong, sin. Spoken of any sin and used in an absolute sense. Spoken of any sin. Not just the ones named in the roll call of the damned. In Galatians 5, 1 Corinthians 6, Ephesians 2, Revelation 21. Not just those mentioned there. Any sin. What is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law of God. So the Jew or Gentile that abideth in Christ does not live, watch this, a lifestyle of sin. Y'all follow me here? Don't be scared. Stay with me. Do your sins grieve you? Which ones? Hope you say all of them. Do you see the difference there? When you was a lost person, what sins grieved you? I have to say, none of them. Only when I got caught. Other than that, it didn't grieve me. Of course, once you got caught, there was a worldly repentance, which means that you repent in a worldly way. You repent because you got caught, but you don't turn from it because as soon as you can, you go back to it again. How many of y'all ever got a ticket and you knew you were speeding and you knew you deserved it? Did you ever tell the police officer, "Sir, I'll never, please don't give me a ticket, I'll never speed again"? Has anybody said that? Have you got some sense then? Good. Amen. I mean, see about tickets you got. Have you ever asked the police, "Lord, just, or policeman, please give me grace"? And he says, "I wrote grace a ticket this morning too, by the way. I know a guy that got pulled over by a state trooper, and he got out, and the guy that got pulled over had a shirt on it with Fred Sampson, is that his name? Fred Sanford? And I said, "You big dummy." And guess where he was going? To a Bible study. He was running late. Y'all know him, Brother Jeremy Holden. Amen. I thank the old boy let him go because Brother Jeremy was just smiling and happy. I hate getting pulled over. Quickly, I say this one. We'll move on. I got pulled over one day, and this is right before the Lord saved me. The guy pulled me over, and I had just passed somebody too. Just passed. I was starting to slow back down, you know. I said, "Doggone it!" Got me, pulled me over. He must have been new, because I almost had him rattled. He wrote the ticket out, and he said, "Here, it's due December 15th. I said, "Oh, man." He looked at me and said, "That's right before Christmas." I said, I dropped my old head and shook it like that. He said, "Here, due February 2nd. I said, "Thank you." Amen. Y'all okay? Spoken of any sin. I think about that. That's serious. Did y'all know that worry is a sin? Worry is a sin. The Bible says if it's not a faith, what is it? Sin. What is worrying? It's not a faith. Not trusting God. Do you know what we'll do? We'll plan out things in our minds. We'll see how this event's going to go. And get all wrapped up in it. End up having a panic attack, a heart attack, or some other kind of attack. What we just did. We worried ourselves sick. That's sin. And those areas, of course, we know we grow in the Lord. We learn to trust Him, we add to our faith. But this here, hamartano, is speaking of any sin that we habitually commit. Look at the last part of verse 6. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. This word sinneth is in the present participle and expresses continuous and repeated action. This is not talking about degrees of sin, how we put numbers 1 through 5, 6 through 10, 11 through 15, or red, blue, yellow sins, whatever you want to look at. It's not talking about degrees of sin. It's talking about sin, period. All sin is against God, no matter how we view it. Hath not seen him, neither known him, simply means hath not known him. And this is an action that's completed in past time, has continuing results. So what's that mean? This person was born this way. That was completed in past time. And the continuing results from that time forward is the same. They're still lost. Therefore, they live like they live. Christ has never interrupted their life. This is plain and simple from the Bible. Look at verse 7. Little children, and here's the title of the message, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. This word doeth is again, expresses continuous and repeated actions. This person is living a lifestyle of righteous living. Again, I want to stress that you and I, we are not perfect in this sinful body. But we can live a consistent lifestyle of righteous living. Does anybody come to mind? Do you know people that live a consistent lifestyle of righteous living? You may know some of their faults. I'm hopeful some folk come to mind. Let me tell you why. Because everybody in here tonight claims to be saved. Almost. Amen? So if your spouse don't come to mind, something's wrong. If your pastor don't come to mind, something's wrong. If y'all don't come to mind, something's wrong. Here's the thing. We can come to church and put up a front, can't we? We can live like everything's just fine and dandy for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. But those who's around you every day knows you. Living a lifestyle of righteous living. We sin every day. But as we learn in verse 3 that once we are saved, we live in hope of Christ coming back and catching us away, or us dying and going to be with Him. And we want to be righteous because He is righteous. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Look at the first part of verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. This word deceive is to cause to roam from safety, from truth, or virtue, to go astray, deceiver, err, seduce, wander, be out of the way. Don't let anyone cause you to go astray. Don't let anyone cause you to roam from the truth. So the question comes up, would someone do this on purpose? Would someone cause you to roam from the truth on purpose? Yes, many do. It's amazing people that use the gospel today to get rich. You see them. I ain't got to call their names out. You know who they are, some of them. They use the gospel as a platform to get money in. They preach and teach health and wealth. We are warned to flee from these and to not give them a place to teach and preach their heresies in the church. Ever. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 John, don't even let them in your house. Turn to Jude. It's just a few books back from 1 John. Or I should say a few books forward. Look at Jude, verse 3. Now, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. For there, watch this, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, watch what they're doing. Turn the grace of God into what? And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Why have they come in? For one reason. One reason. To destroy the church with heresies. To make the word of God of none effect. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." What are they going to do? Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. What kind? Damnable heresies. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. What are they bringing in? Heresies. That condemn people to hell. Have you ever heard of any of these heresies? Some that sound good? I'll give you one. Repeat this prayer. Huh? Trust your feelings. Follow your heart. That's just ones and That's just some of the ones that we hear on a regular basis, ain't it? Now, how many people do you know that have did that? And then what is the result of their lifestyle? Is it changed? There may be a little fluctuation here and there, but for the most part, it's consistently what? Sinful. Anybody else besides me been there? Amen. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. And that because the false brethren unawares brought in. What kind of brethren? False brethren. Unawares brought in who came in privily. Watch this, espy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And they came in for a certain reason. You see that? To bring us into bondage. What brings us into bondage? Sin does. How about this? How about a fear factor? If you sin, you're going to die and go to hell. You're going to lose your salvation. What is that? Fear. Does that put people in bondage? What's the truth do for us? Sets us free. We've been learning that in John chapter 8. Look at verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Why? Why do they not let these people preach and teach? Here's why. That the truth, the gospel, might continue with you. Amen. The truth of the gospel may continue. It may not be hindered. It may not be held up. People will come in with strong voices and able to convince others by mixing lies with the truth. And that's what Satan does. Listen, their goal is to take away the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. This in itself shows us the importance of knowing those who preach and teach to us. The Bible does say that you ought to know your pastor, to know your preacher, to know your teacher. You ought to know them. These folk who say that they're preachers on TV and they live in Gulfport and their preachers in Houston? No. Not biblical. We're going to be a part of a local congregation. Amen? Amen. We ought to be like those of Berea, who take what they hear. Listen, I say this all the time. Do not ever take what I say for granted. Go home and study it. Go home and study it. It's amazing what happens when people study. You know, most of the people in this church believes in the doctrine of election. I'm going to tell you why. Because they went home and studied it for themselves. Amen? That's why. If it wasn't true, I teach it. I preach it. If it wasn't true, do you know what you should do? Run me off. Run me off. But guess what? Is it true? Is it in the Bible? That's the only reason anyone would ever teach it. Because it's in the Bible. You ought to go home and study everything to make sure you're hearing is truth. We'll see a lot more of this in the family conference, the importance of the parents knowing the Word of God, especially the husband. Let's get down to verse 7. It says, let no man, 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, let no man deceive you. This implies that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. If we do not study, then we are leaving ourselves open for someone to deceive us. And if we build what we believe upon a lie, then we have a false foundation, and the building will not stand. But if we build what we believe upon the truth of God's Word, the foundation is sure and steadfast, it's unmovable, and what is built upon the truth, it will stand. Why do we believe what we believe? Is it because we're Baptist? Is it because we are a Richardson Baptist Church? Is that why we believe what we believe? No. We believe what we believe because it's what the Bible says. I can say it this way. We are Richardson Baptist Church because of what the Bible says. Amen? A biblical church. The Word of God kept in context. Very important. Let no man deceive you. There are many avenues today that people come in our homes. Through the radio, through the television, through this internet. Be very careful who you listen to. There are things that people say that sound real good. Suck you in. Know who you're listening to. Wasn't it good to be caught by His grace? Amen. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Father, we come to You again tonight. So thankful for Your Word. For the clarity of Your Word. We do not deserve it. We are thankful for Your grace, Your mercy, Your love. Help us to be vigilant in identifying heresies and the heretics. Help us to be bold to stand against them. To be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. We ask for protection here at this church. That no one would be allowed to come in and teach and preach a heresy. And that we would be diligent to go home and study Your Word, O God. Lord, would You bless our labors? Bless our studies? Grow us, O Lord. Thank You for loving us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.